Today is 21st December 2021. It's a Tuesday class. As usual, a very good evening to all brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. So we'll be continuing our sharing from this book, The Wonderful Dhamma Lotus Flower Sutta. We are at page 32 of the soft copy on the section Introduction. If it's a hard copy, we are on page 55. Okay, just relax body and mind, then maintain some form of attention. Then we can have our half an hour of awareness-based meditation. We all off the light so that you can commence your awareness-based meditation. So to develop this awareness-based meditation is very important. Just relax body and mind completely and feel yourself completely at ease. Then just maintain awareness. Just be aware of whatever is going on. The maintenance of awareness should be for as long as you can, so that this awareness nature can stabilize. And finally, once it has developed the ability to be aware, you can use it to meditate. Then of course, finally, when you are already very stable, you can just stay at the heart area and just relax and let things be. Means trust your nature to do the meditation. Do not allow the thought to come in to interfere. Okay, so I will now set the 30 minutes of awareness-based meditation. Once the alarm rings, means you have already developed the 30 minutes of awareness-based meditation. And upon hearing the bell, I will ring it 3 times. You can slowly, mindfully come out of the meditation. Then we can continue with our Dhamma sharing. Okay. You can slowly, mindfully come out of meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness that you have developed for as long as you can. These are the mind state that you use to develop the daily mindfulness to be heedful in the midst of life. Long ago, there was an official who believed in Buddhism and was able to recite from memory the first half of the Dhamma Flower Sutta. He memorized and understood the first half on sight. But no matter what he did, he couldn't get the second half through his head. He couldn't memorize it. He was a lot like one of the disciples of Shen Huang, who recently said, "The Surangama mantra had really got me beat. No matter how I study, I can't remember it. Don't look at the sea and heave a great sigh. Don't think of the mantra like the great sea and assume that you will never be able to learn it. I will teach you a technique or a method. Don't try to learn it by reading it all at once. Do it sentence by sentence, line by line. When you can remember the first line by heart, go on to the next. Unless you remember that one line clearly, don't go on to the next. For example, repeat Namo Satan Toa Sukhi Toa Yeye Ela Hi Ti San Miao San Puto Si over and over until you can say it with your eye closed. Then go on to the next line. skill set. If you are greedy to learn it all at once, you won't be able to swallow it in one gulp. Just like the guest wants to know if he could eat meat and become enlightened. I told him that he could if he could eat the whole cow with a single gulp. He didn't understand what I meant, however, and just said, I couldn't do it. If you couldn't, how do you expect to get enlightened eating meat? Which Buddha become enlightened eating meat? Which Patriot become enlightened eating meat? Which Bodhisattva become enlightened eating meat? None of them, you said. Then why do you want to be so special and insist on eating meat and getting enlightened? What kind of an enlightenment is that? Is an enlightenment to carnivorism? The retribution incurred by eating meat is fearsome. If you like to eat meat of other creatures, especially living beings, eventually they will take delight in eating your flesh. So the guest didn't return tonight, probably because there is no meat here to eat. And he figured he wouldn't get enlightened. Besides, he read of one. Back to learning the Surangama mantra. Don't try to learn it all at once. That's like eating. That's like trying to eat the whole cow at one gulp. Learn the mantra bit by bit. Don't be like the one who gazes at the sea and heaves the big sigh, thinking, there is so much water, how could I ever drink it all? Although the Surangama mantra is very long, if you concentrate on it, you will learn it. So anyone who wishes to leave home under me must be able to recite it in the great compassionate mantra. Otherwise, I will not accept them as left home disciple. So during the summer season, I tested people on the Surangama mantra. You can memorize the Surangama mantra, I will grant that you have somewhat of a sincere heart. In China, it normally takes 6 months to learn the mantra. During the summer season, one of my disciples went without eating or sleeping in order to focus his attention on learning the mantra. This was an indication of his sincerity. He made his stomach empty so that he could hold the mantra. Really? Though I'm not joking, you don't have to quit eating to learn the mantra. So all Dhammas are the wonderful Dhammas. I have lectured for many days on the wonderful Dhamma, and yet my explanation is nowhere near as broad as that of the great master Shi Zhe, who took 90 days to explain the single word wonderful. The state of the wonderful Dhamma is beyond deliberation and discrimination. The more you discriminate, the harder it is to learn. The more you deliberate, the less you will understand it. Don't think, why am I unable to learn the mantra? Don't think of anything at all. Just recite it. Recite it as your duty and responsibility. Don't study it with thoughts of discrimination and deliberation. Discrimination takes place in the mind six consciousness. Deliberation is done exclusively by the seven consciousness. So these are the Mahayana six and seven consciousness. Maybe I will explain a little bit. You say, as a human being or as a living being, we have our five physical senses. You can become conscious of what you see, the seeing consciousness, what you hear, the hearing consciousness, what you smell, taste, tactile, feel. These are the five basic sense or consciousness the human being has. Then there is another organ which we call the brain, where the memory is, where thought arises to respond to memory. So when we make contact with the brain, it gives rise to thought consciousness. So the first six types of consciousness, they are from the five physical senses and the mundane mind that trigger off the six consciousness. Where each and every of the first five consciousness, they need the mind, the mundane mind. And the mind is one of the conditions that must arise, and it has to make contact with the senses. And together with the sense data, they trigger off sense of consciousness. So the five basic consciousness plus the mind consciousness give rise to the six type of consciousness. First five is very basic, but the six consciousness involve the mind, the mundane mind. So this mundane mind, which is from the thought process, they call it the mundane thinking mind that trigger off thinking. That's why they call it the discriminatory consciousness. So these six consciousness that arise, they come from memories, our views, our opinion, our conditioning, our belief system, everything that we accumulate into our brain, our memory. They become our views, our opinion, and they condition us to behave in certain way and do certain thing. That's why this action, thinking according to memory, is not thinking at all, because it is based on memory. And these are discriminating. It gives rise to duality and all those things, unless there is wisdom. So this six consciousness is called the discriminative consciousness. Then after that, they have the seven consciousness. Seven consciousness is where they actually create what they call other mind states, other type of like deliberation. Like I say, when you start to use the mundane mind to analyze things, to reason. So there is this what they call deliberation. So deliberation is where the seven consciousness is. It will create all this movement. So here, what is being explained by the sutta is the same. So it is mentioned discrimination takes place in the sixth consciousness. Okay, then deliberation is done exclusively by the seventh consciousness. In the Surangama Sutta, we read that Ananda had this very problem. Why? Because he concentrated on learning and neglected the cultivation of samadhi. If you want to memorize the Surangama mantra, you must get rid of deliberation and discrimination. So this is where the mundane mind is creating delusion. Because the mundane mind is very good at deliberating things and creating discrimination, views, opinion, conditioning, belief system, etc. So do not use your conscious mind to study the Buddha Dharma. That's why I say the Dharma is not thought-based. It's awareness-based. So use your true heart or your true mind, which is just the wonderful Dhamma. What is the wonderful Dhamma? What you know is the wonderful Dhamma. What you do not know is also the wonderful Dhamma, because the wonderful Dhamma is what is. What is really wonderful. So the wonderful Dhamma is not, it's just not knowing. But if I don't know the wonderful Dhamma, how can I study? Just study that not knowing. Not knowing what? Not knowing false thinking. Not knowing hatred. Not knowing delusion and greed. Learn how not to know. Get rid of greed, hatred, and delusion. That is really wonderful. If you can't part with your greed, hatred, and delusion, that is the wonderful becoming unwonderful. If you can renounce them, then the unwonderful becoming wonderful. So here is how they actually phrase it. Here the word not knowing is used in a different context. So not knowing is doesn't mean you don't know anything. So not knowing is just like when I give you instruction on meditation, don't try to know, don't try to do anything. That is the deep meaning. Why do I say don't try to know? What is it that you want to know? All knowing comes from memory, from the thought, that perceive, that thing, that brings about knowing. So whereas awareness is not knowing, whereas sati is awareness before the knowing, or mindfulness before the knowing. So when you are just aware before the aggregates of mind coming, perceiving, then that mind is just aware before the knowing. That's why there is nothing to know. There is awareness-based meditation. You are just aware. You don't hold on to anything. You don't try to do anything or know anything. Where the doing is by the thought. The knowing is by the aggregates of mind, which is also thought. So if you want to do that, then it becomes thought-based doing. Then you are creating more thought through what? Through knowing. You want to know whether you are doing it right or wrong. You want to know whether the instruction is this or that. So this one thing to know is where the mundane mind arise and create thought process and thinking that makes you heedless. Then don't do anything. Who is doing? Because conventionally, living being has this problem. When you ask them, how do you meditate? Or when they want to know how you can teach me to meditate. So what do they expect? They expect instruction. They expect somebody to teach them. Then they expect themselves doing the meditation. But if you do that, what happens? The thought become active. The thought become the meditator. The thought become the doer, following the instruction, chattering. creating more and more globalization. So all this will lead to thought-based activity and thinking. And if you do that, you cannot be in the state of awareness, sati. You cannot be completely silent and aware. You cannot be with your true mind, your self nature, your awareness nature. That's where people go wrong. But this part is very difficult to understand unless you are really a good meditator, a cultivator, who know how to develop this awareness-based meditation to be aware, to observe silently, to awaken, to insight into phenomena. So here, the context that they use is different. Shen Huo, he said, here, just study, but don't try to know. Yeah. But he couldn't explain it the way I explained, leading to memory and all those things, your views, your opinion, your condition. So here he said, not knowing means not knowing what? He said, not knowing false thinking. But this is not practical. Not knowing false thinking means you don't know what is false thinking. But this is not practical. Because to him, it's like when you don't know what is false thinking, you cannot create false thinking. Actually, false thinking is heedless thinking. Wangxiang, heedless thinking. So, in a way, if you read all this, you will not understand. It's just like the next sentence, they say, not knowing what is greed, not knowing what is delusion. Learn how not to know. Get rid of greed, hatred, and delusion. That is wonderful. But this is not practical. You cannot learn Dhamma that way. You need to learn Dhamma through the silent mind to observe. When you observe and develop understanding through understanding the teaching, then that understanding awakens you and transforms you. Then you will not be deluded by it, deceived by it. Then it will have no power over you and it cannot entangle you. And that is supposed to be the way cultivation is. So when you are completely silent and aware, then you see and observe clearly how your mind creates the movement, the activity, how you stir and develop greed, how your mind stir and develop anger, how through delusion you created the egoic mind to cling, to attach, to grasp, and how all this leads to craving, desire, finally suffering, misery. Then you start to understand what the Buddha meant by greed, hatred, and delusion. These are evil roots, make you evil, cause your karmic negativity and downfall. It's through the silent mind that observe all this, that understand the Dhamma, then it awakens. Then there is no more question of not knowing or don't try to know. Because that one is to prevent the thought from arising during meditation. That knowing comes from the thought. That doing comes from the thought. As I say, don't try to know. Don't try to do anything. Just relax, maintain awareness, and silence completely. That is the real awareness-based meditation. So hopefully with this explanation, you can understand it better. Okay, I will read on. We were talking about the official who could remember the first half of the Dhamma Flower Sutta after he had read it only once. But although he read the second half literally thousands of times, he couldn't remember a word of it. Thinking this rather wonderful, he finally went to ask the abbot of the nearby monastery. who was an enlightened master. As a high-ranking official, he received a warm welcome, and he asked the abbot, "I sincerely believe in the Buddha Dharma. I'm especially interested in the Dhamma Flower Sutta. However, although I could understand the first half and memorize it after hearing it only once, the second half escaped me entirely. Why is this so?" "Most venerable abbot, I beg for your instruction on this point." The abbot who has use of the five eyes means the special ability and the six penetrative spiritual penetration said, "I can tell you why, but you must promise me not to get angry, because what I'm about to say or tell you is the truth. I'm not trying to insult you." So there is a saying that goes, truth hurts. So sometimes if you tell people the truth, people are still deluded. Their egoic mind is there, the ego. And the ego will be affected. That's why it caused them anger. So this enlightened venerable abbot is very wise. He cautioned this high-ranking official first. He said, because if you do not agree to this, he will not explain. That's why he said, "You must promise not to get angry, because what I'm about to tell you is the truth. And I am not trying to insult you, because truth hurts." The official said, "Of course I won't get angry. If you explain the causes and effect, means the causes and condition behind my situation, how could I get angry?" Then the interesting part is here. The abbot continued, "In your past life, you were an ox." High-ranking officer came to know he was an ox who plowed the field in a monastery. Through your toil, you established a great deal of merits for yourself. In that monastery, on the sixth day of the sixth month of every year, the sutra was set in the sun to air, so that they could not be eaten by worms. You happened to lumber over and sniff one of the copies of the Dhamma Flower Sutta, but you only sniffed the first half and not the second. Because of the merit you established, you have now become an official. Don't think that officials are always human. Many of them have even been horses and cows, sheep and pigs, because you only sniff the first half, not the second. You are familiar with the first and not the second. Such are the causes and condition here, or such is the cause and effect here. Hearing this, the official redoubled his vigor in supporting the Buddha Dharma and the way place. Most likely, he never became an ox again. That's a wonderful Dhamma indeed. All he did was sniff the first volume of the sutta, and as a human being, was able to remember it. Why? I don't know. It is a wonderful Dhamma. If you insist on knowing why, you can't pin it down with scientific research. The only way to find out is to single-mindedly concentrate and apply effort to your cultivation. When you have obtained the five eyes and the six penetration, you will understand the reason. You will understand the wonderful Dhamma. So this is the answer that the abbot gave to the high-ranking official. But to me, all these are not important. Because karma is karma, causes and condition. What is more important is if you know you have certain negativity or karma committed in the past, you can't change it. It's already done. The past is already gone. No more reality. So what you need to do is to accept what has happened and move on. Then in order to develop understanding, you must do what you have to do to actually resolve all this amicably so that it will not become karmic obstruction. It will not become a hindrance to your cultivation in you fulfilling your vows and all those things that you want to do in life. So this understanding is very important, doing what you need to do to resolve this amicably. So if you need to ask for forgiveness, develop repentance, you must. That's how you do it. Then after that, you must vow not to repeat all this coming wrongdoing or negativity so that you can actually progress along the path of Dhamma by following the advice of the Buddha to avoid all evil, do good, and purify the mind. If you do that, it means you are developing the cultivation. You are actually cultivating following the Dhamma way. Then when you have enough of this cultivation, your merits, your parami will be developed. And through this, you can invoke our merits and allow your parami to help you to actually arise as the causes and condition to progress along the path of Dhamma, or to use it for whatever that is useful for yourself, your loved ones, and all those that have affinity with you. So this is understanding following the Dhamma way. That's why I said, don't try to know too much. But if you can have the wisdom to understand, then you will know how to move. So what is dangerous is some people thought the five, they call it the five eyes. These are referring to the five psychic within the psychic world, like the divine eye, the heavenly ear. These are the five, what they call eyes or special psychic ability. Then the sixth penetration is supposed to be the enlightenment, the awakening. So you have the five eyes without the sixth penetration, it's no use. But if it comes as a byproduct, no harm, then it's good. But if it doesn't come as a byproduct and you go and look for it, attach to it, cling on to it, then you can be trapped. Where the Surangama Sutta is very clear on all this. They will create that wonderful special mind state to attract cultivator, to lure cultivator into believing that that is the mind that they are looking for, the enlightenment in the here and the now. So all this is the part you have to pay attention to, as a caution, so that you will not be gullible and get attracted to the five eyes and the six spiritual penetration. Of course, six spiritual penetration is about enlightenment, there was no harm. But don't go and crave for it, desire for it, and think that when I have this, I can know a lot of things. So it's not what you think. But if it comes as a byproduct, then it's okay. In fact, my nature feel the better way is not through the five eyes. The better way is to understand causes and conditions. Understand the way things are clearly through wisdom. Then you will know why people become like that and how all this are possible, and how it can entangle living beings and all those things. So those are wisdom way, Dhamma way, which doesn't involve psychic ability. It is pure understanding through the nature, through wisdom, through cultivation of the Bodhisattva way leading to the perfection of them all. Okay, we read on. The sixth level of identity with the Buddha. So this one is from another division of the Mahayana teachings. We have been discussing the wonderful mind Dhamma, the wonder of living beings Dhamma, the wonder of the Buddha Dhamma. Now we shall discuss the wonderful Dhamma according to Tianpai doctrine of the six levels of identity with the Buddha. First is the identity with the Buddhas in principle, then nominal identity with the Buddhas. Then number three is identity with the Buddhas in contemplation and practice. Number four is similar identity with the Buddhas. Number five is identity with the Buddha through partial certification. And finally is the absolute identity with the Buddha. So the first identity with the Buddha in principle will go through. What is the wonderful Dhamma? It cannot be considered with the mind or spoken in words on the part of the Buddha. It is not the slightest bit greater. On the part of living being, it is not the slightest bit smaller. On the part of the Buddha, it does not cease to be. On the part of living being, it does not come to being. The basic substance of the wonderful Dhamma is neither produced nor destroyed, neither defiled nor pure, neither increased nor decreased. So this is from the Heart Sutta. The wonderful Dhamma is inherent within every one of us. No one lacks it. However, we do not know of it. This is called identity with the Buddha in principle. So this part is very interesting. However, we do not know it. So this is called identity with the Buddha in principle. So the wonderful Dhamma is inherent within each and every one of us. It's just like each and every one of us has the Buddha nature. No one lacks it. But the trouble is, however, you don't know that Buddha nature. You don't know that you have a Buddha nature. It's just like you don't know you have a true mind. You have a true nature. You have a oneness nature within. That's why it is called identity with the Buddha in principle. Speaking in terms of the principles, we are all Buddhas based on the principle that we all possess the same Buddha nature. This is not to say, however, that we are Buddha right now. In principle, we are identical with the Buddha. You could say that everyone is a Buddha, but only in terms of principle, as we have not specifically realized Buddhahood yet. In principle, then everyone has the Buddha nature and everyone is a potential Sammasambuddha if they cultivate according to the Buddha Dharma. They can realize Buddhahood. So the strange thing about this cultivation is there are a lot of people who don't have the clear understanding. They start to doubt the Mahayana teaching. In fact, there are certain practitioners of the Dhamma or cultivator who are of the, I think mainly the Theravada tradition or other tradition, who cannot understand this thing called the Buddha nature, the true nature. Then when they read the sutta, they become more confused. They say that self nature is complete by itself, perfect and all that thing. So to them, they say, what is going on? They say, like, no need to cultivate, it's already perfect. Everything is already there. Then why you want to cultivate? Then who is cultivating? Actually, that line of thinking or reasoning come from the thought, the mind. That's why they cannot understand. It doesn't mean that each and every one of us, we have the self nature, the Buddha nature, the true nature, that we can become enlightened. No, that is not the case. What is important is the understanding that you have two minds. One is the mundane mind, the condition arising mind, cause of phenomenon. And that one is the karmically conditioned form and mind, vehicle and tool for us to come. And that one is impermanent. You attach and cling, it leads to suffering. And because it's impermanent, it's not a permanent and changing entity that you can cling onto, grasp onto, and hold onto, and say, this is me, this is I, therefore all this can be mine. And that one, the Buddha said, is a delusion. So knowing this is very important. Because this is not your true nature. This is not your true self nature. That's why in meditation, we need to silence this mundane mind, the thinking mind, to realize the true mind, that awareness nature within, that stabilize it to finally cease the mundane mind and realize the oneness nature, which is beyond thought, beyond mind. That in order to develop wisdom, we have to use this true mind, the silent mind, the awareness nature to meditate, to awaken. That's where the difficulty stands. That's how people fail to understand cultivation. It doesn't mean that each and every one of us have the Buddha nature. We don't need to do anything. We just have to realize that nature, which is not completely wrong too. But to realize that nature is not easy. Even after you have realized that, to live life, you still need to come out and use the mundane mind, the thinking mind. So when it comes to living life, you still need the form and mind, even though it's not real, not you, but it's karmically connected to you, and you have to do a duty. You have to understand that you need to perform its duty towards the law of karma, because within the conditioned world, there is such thing as the law of karma, the reality of life and existence. Life and existence itself is what the mundane conditioned world is all about. So the two aspects, the conditioned Dhamma and the unconditioned Dhamma, both need to be understood in order to have the wisdom to live life. So this is where the difficulty is. So not understanding all this will trap the living being, will lead to delusion, and one become gullible because one used the thought process to reason, to analyze, and try to understand the truth which is beyond thought, beyond mind. So knowing all this, we need to really develop the cultivation. Unless we cultivate and realize the true mind, stabilize the awareness nature, then use it to develop wisdom and understanding, to understand both the mundane and the supramundane, the conditioned and the unconditioned. Then with that clear understanding, we are not confused, not deluded. Then whether you are with the form and mind as a human being, or you are with the true mind, your nature, there is no confusion at all, because you need both. The wisdom that you develop through the awakening come from the silent mind, your true nature. You have to use that to meditate, to awaken. Then after that, that wisdom which is connected to that nature is also connected to the form and mind. Because from the form and mind you come, and the form and mind is the only vehicle and tool that can lead you to that nature, to realize that true nature and that true mind. So with that, the wisdom will protect the form and mind from being deluded, gullible. That is how enlightenment is to be realized and understood. When we talk about enlightenment, it's an awakening of the nature. It has nothing to do with the form and mind. Because the form and mind is technically not real, not you. So when you say enlightened, means it's not you that form and mind become enlightened. The form and mind you can say is enlightened because of the wisdom connected to it, yes. But that one is not you. That one is anicjang, dukkang, and anatta. That one is condition arising phenomena, not a permanent unchanging entity. But that understanding is very important, very, very important. Without that understanding, you will not be able to break free. Okay? So now we go on to the next one. Nominal identity with the Buddha. When we listen to lectures on the sutta or sutras, we gain understanding of the Buddha's doctrine or teaching. We understand that the mind itself is the Buddha. The Buddha are just the mind. The Buddha taught the Dhamma and the minds of living beings. Sorry, the Buddha taught the Dhamma for the minds of living beings. If living beings had no mind, the Buddha would not have taught the Dhamma. To understand that, the term mind and the Buddha correspond is called nominal identity with the Buddha. That's why in the early days, I remember Master Shen Hua always say this, 佛就是心,心就是佛, 你无慧心就无慧佛. So that was beautiful. 佛就是心 means Buddha is mind. 心就是佛, mind is Buddha. You don't understand mind, you don't understand the Buddha. Because the Buddha is basically the Buddha nature. But there is another aspect of the Buddha. As Sakyamuni, during the time when he arrived, when he connected underneath the Bodhi tree, he became the Sammasambuddha. That time, the Sambhogaya Kaya, spiritual body, actually connect and comes through the gateway and connect to the Nimana Kaya, the functional body. So when the two come together, it becomes the Sammasambuddha and that speaks the Dhamma. That's why it becomes the Dhamma body, the three body, Trikaya of the Buddha. The functional body, which is a Nimana Kaya. Then the spiritual body, Sambhogaya Kaya. Then the Dhamma body, which is the Buddha itself, manifesting, teaching, and preaching the Dhamma. So this manifestation, you need to understand, that one is the Buddha. That form and mind that arise is called the Buddha. And it has the Sambhogaya Kaya, his spiritual penetration, perfection. That's why it can develop the ability to teach like a Buddha. So that's why in that sense, mind is Buddha. But that type of mind with the Sambhogaya Kaya in that Nimana Kaya, then it animates into the Dhamma Kaya, the Trikaya. That's why mind is Dhamma. Mind is Buddha. Buddha is mind. So you cannot understand the mind, you cannot understand the Buddha. So the saying is very beautiful. I find it very, very 别人佛，佛就是心，心就是佛，你无慧心就无慧佛。So that one is an added sharing. The third type of identity with the Buddha is identity with the Buddha in contemplation and practice. If you merely understand that the mind is the Buddha and the Buddha are the mind, understanding the nominal identity with the Buddha, but do not apply effort at actual cultivation, it is useless. So nominal identity also of not much value, because you may recite what I said or what Master Shen Hua said, Buddha are the mind, and mind is the Buddha. So you think you can also become Buddhist, but that one, not much use. That's why you need to put in the cultivation. You have to apply effort. You must cultivate. Our true nature is the Buddha nature. And it is like gold inside the gold mine. Cultivation is like mining the gold. Once the gold is mined out, it must still be smitten and refined until it is pure, solid gold. Identity with the Buddha in principle is like the gold hidden in the mind. Nominal identity with the Buddha is like the gold when it has been taken from the mind. If you cultivate and discipline yourself, then that is like refining the gold, and it's called identity with the Buddha in contemplation and practice. That's why the second turning is about the contemplative wisdom. Then the third turning is about the cultivation, the practice. You have to refine the goal, but you have not yet arrived at perfection, means you have not completely smit it until it become pure gold. So the fourth identity is similar identity with the Buddha. If you cultivate energetically, sit in Zazen or Zen meditation, reciting the Buddha's name and reciting Sutta, doing so with single-minded samadhi, not concentration, should be samadhi, you will reach the level where inwardly the six senses no longer exist, and outwardly the six sense data have perished, with the form and mind cease. So there is this poem, inwardly there is nobody and mind, outwardly there is no world. One is then released from the organs and the object. So this is cessation of form and mind, enlightenment. At that time, there is no mark of a person or people, or even less the mark of a self. There is no mark of living being and no mark of lifespan. There is no thought of the past, no thought of the present moment, no thought of the future. The three phases of thought are completely gone, and the four marks are empty. At that time, you will have obtained a bit of the flavor of the wonderful Dhamma. However, you do not yet know its full taste. This is called similar identity with the Buddha. Then after that, the fifth identity is identity with the Buddha through partial certification. You can't stop here, however. You must continue to cultivate with effort until, as they say in the Zen school, you can see your original face, Ben Lai De Mian Mu. See what you are basically like. In the Tiantai school, this is called the attainment of the truth. The attainment of the three truths in a single thought. The three truths are the truth of emptiness, truth of falseness, and the truth of the middle way. So these are the three truths. In the practice of the Pure Land, he is described in the Amitabha Sutta as having one heart unconfused. You recite Namo Amitabha Buddha, Namo Amitabha Buddha, with undeviating single-mindedness until you are oblivious to the wind blowing against you and rain falling on you. A unity is created and the entire universe is all contained within the single thought of Namo Amitabha Buddha. At that time, There are no mountains, no river, no land, no building, no trees, no pond, no sound, no others, no living beings, no lifespan. Everything is empty. You recite the Buddha's name until, even if you want to stop reciting, you can't. The recitation is like a waterfall, and you can't stop it. This is called one heart unconfused. This is the attainment of the Buddha recitation samadhi. The recitation now become natural, is naturally arising. You may think, I want to quit reciting, but inside of you, Namo Amitabha continues like flowing water. I will tell you something now. This state is so wonderful that when you hear the sound of people talking, it sounds like they are saying Namo Amitabha. The blowing wind also whispers Namo Amitabha. The rushing stream chant Namo Amitabha. The flowing water and the blowing wind all proclaim the Mahayana. Everything becomes the great vehicle Dhamma. Would you say this state is wonderful or not? It is extremely wonderful, one heart unconfused. When you arrive at this state, you will see Amitabha Buddha and the pools make up the seven treasures. You will see the lotus flower of the four colors, green color of green light, yellow color of yellow light, red color of red light, white color of white light. At that time, not only in this world, but in the 100 worlds, you can realize Buddhahood. You can go to any world you like and realize Buddhahood there. In the Pure Land Dhamma Dhamma, this is what is known as one heart unconfused. We are not talking here about having a few strange experiences. For example, there was an elder layman who heard the sound of the bell being struck, pong, and asked if the other people around him had heard it. He thought he had a special kind of state, but actually, that's pretty ordinary. People who cultivate often meet up with strange situations. The important thing is not to be attached in them. In the Zen school, they say, if the Buddha comes, slay the Buddha. If the demon comes, slay the demon. If the Buddha arrives, you should not be affected. Cultivate samadhi power. Don't think. However delightful the Buddha has come, the Vajrasutta say everything that has mark is empty and false. So this saying is very good. Huh? Everything that has mark is empty and false. So make a note of it. And just what do you think you are doing, getting so happy? The Vajrasutta also say, you see all mark as no mark. Just that is to see the task come on. If in the midst of mark, you can perceive the emptiness, that is true emptiness. If within emptiness, you can perceive existence, that is wonderful existence. True emptiness is basically not empty, but wonderful existence. And wonderful existence is basically non-existent. Is this wonderful or not? At that time, you would have reach the level of identity with the Buddha through partial certification, but you have not yet reached the full level of ultimate certification or identity. So the ultimate identity with the Buddha is the sixth one. Yeah, this sixth one is very long. We will stop here. So we are at page 65. I will stop here. Then we can have our meditation reporting.
Good evening, Matthew.
Yeah, good evening.
Mr. Steele and
all. Yeah. Are you still in Penang or are you back?
I came back last week.
Oh, last week you're already back. Oh, sad.
I was very lucky. When I came back, it was on a Wednesday. If I have come back one day later, I will be caught in the heavy rain.
Heavy rain and flood.
Even on Because on Wednesday when I was traveling, actually the traffic was already very heavy. Can you just imagine if I'm traveling on Thursday and it's heavy rain?
Correct.
10 hours to arrive.
Right? Really bad.
Virgil, I think maybe I talk about my a bit of reflection that I did.
Very good, Sadhu.
What is happening these last few days? As we all know that living in Selangor, we have seen the chaos and the
Correct. The flood.
The tragic happenings because of the flood. Yeah. And firstly, I would like to say that I hope that all our calamiters who are in Klang, Klang area and whichever area that is affected by the floods, that they and their family are well not too badly affected by the floods. And with the understanding of the Dharma, I hope that they can cope well with it.
Should be able to
affect their life too much.
Virgil,
in this case, as we can see, if we do not have the Dharma, how much suffering we will go through, Brazil. The sudden loss of your home, your everything, your livelihood, and even the lives of some loved ones.
Yes, and it is very traumatic, very traumatic.
Yes, very traumatic,
Brazil. Yeah, the losses, tremendous. A lot of people lost almost everything. The whole house, the car. Then the whole neighborhood, some can't even come out to buy food. Then they have to climb up the rooftop to actually take shelter and wait for rescue and all this thing. And there are many traumatic experiences and sad story. That's why karma is very important. If you don't have the good karma, a lot of things can happen. Sometimes it's just the way the reality goes. Like I was told, even Joyce was trapped. Although his house, no problem, nothing happened at Subang area. But he went and visited a friend somewhere in Jelutong, and the whole country corridor and the toll area was flooded. So she couldn't come. And of course, she has the Dhamma, and they managed somehow. She stayed overnight at a friend's house, which is a very nice bungalow. That area, no problem. Then wait for the next day, the next morning, when the rain stopped, the tide retreated. Then only she managed to reach home. That's why she was able to attend even that lunch. So all this is what Dhamma is. But I was told only Selangor, the rain stopped for the last 2 days. Then the flood water was very much better. But I was told Pahang and certain states are very bad. Even until yesterday. Yesterday was the worst, it seems, for those states. Because Pahang, I think Mentakab also was flooded. I saw the video and the picture, the photo and all those things. And my sister's children, their grandparents' house also flooded. Almost, I think, the whole ground floor was flooded. But it was a 3-4-story shablon, so not so bad. But the extent of flood was really, really, very, very serious. So those who are caught, they really don't know what to do. Like there's one case, it was described. He went out and I think brought one of his loved ones to the clinic or hospital, I think, specialist center or what, nearby. Normally half an hour reach. Then on the way back, before he decided to come back, he received a phone call from the daughter. They say it's raining very bad. Rainwater is rising. Then later the wife also called, show him the video. Then the son also sent the video. Then they knew it's big issue, big problem. So they wanted to go back. Half an hour journey took them 20 hours. They only finally parked their car on the high ground and walked back and reaching the house almost midnight. 20 hour journey. And when he saw the damage, it was really traumatic, very traumatic. So it seems the whole Taman submerged. Some even the first story and second story also affected. They had to go to the rooftop. So this is really something that as cultivator we can reflect on, we can contemplate on, and we really will radiate love and metta to them all, because these are living beings, suffering beings, because of their karmic and their condition. They have to go through, they have to go through. And some maybe not so severely affected, but most of them, especially the poor, they are badly affected. Then some, because of OKU, they have fiscal limitations and old people, they can't come out of the flood area and the flood water, and the boats has to go in and take them out. It is not easy. And then they rescue the animals. I saw the cat, the dogs, and some of the animals, which was very good job done. And these people going in to rescue them, going through the muddy water, some even as high as the chest area. So it was really traumatic. Yeah, you continue, PJ.
Yeah, Bratil, also at this time, it is good to see the Malaysian spirit that everybody
helping out. Yes.
Helping out in whatever way they can. If not at the fiscally, but at least in kind and donations. I think we should do our part too.
Yes. Yes.
To help these people.
Yeah.
Bratil. Seeing living beings suffering, as Bratil, can you hear me?
Yeah, loud and clear.
Okay. Especially like there's one incident I read about.
Yes.
That this person, when she was trapped in her house and with the water rising fast, her thoughts were that she will probably die.
Oh, okay.
Bratil, let's just say I imagine myself in that kind of situation, Bratil. Would I be able to remain calm?
Yeah, yeah.
When impending death is so near.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that's when our cultivation will be
most tested. Tested.
It then will really be tested.
The understanding will surface. For us who have the Dhamma, the understanding will be there. Actually, not surreal, not what you think. It was also mentioned that one of this lady, I think, she was trapped in the flood. Then there was a snake in the water also. So she thought, like you say, bye-bye already. But somehow she survived. That's a very traumatic experience. So without the Dhamma, without the understanding, fear is definitely going to engulf the living beings who are affected. And fear, grief, suffering, misery is a real dukkha. So these are true life experience that you can witness and see. Some of the interview from the video, you see them crying. They say they lost everything. Everything, really. Then some managed to salvage their children, two of them. And according to the mother, what can she do? Now the house is gone. And of course, they take refuge at the school where the children go to. Luckily, that school become a center for them to actually pass the day and the night. So all these are centers established for people who need to be evacuated. So when the flood comes, you have to evacuate them. And these people, they can't take much along with them, maybe their personal documents. Then apart from that, they have to leave it to nature. Then after the flood is over, there's still a lot of things to be done. And they really need help. That's why the government has to do a lot better. Because when you don't prepare yourself enough or take sufficient precaution to face all this, this is not the first time this type of flood happened. There are a lot of previous examples of major floods. In fact, 1971, that time I was in Hong Kong, that one also a very major one. But for me, I was lucky. I was young that time, I think 17 years old. Then I was staying in Alostar, but amazingly, Alostar, Kedah, ours is a Kedah plain. Plain means low-lying area, like Klang Valley. So the average ground level of the whole of the Kedah plain is about minus 6 inches below sea level. Actually, we are subject to very strong and severe flooding very easily. But luckily, because DID did a good job. So in Kedah, we have the Drainage and Irrigation Department, plus our MUDA. That's why we call it MUDA, Malayan Agriculture Development Authority. So together we built the dam, the barrage, to contain the tidal wave and the water. And the management was good. That's why the release all, I think they did it very well. So I experienced the worst flood was the 1971 one, where I think my house, the shop lot, the seawater, the tidal water came in, but it was beautiful, clean tidal water at that time, still very clean. I remember almost 1.5 feet. I remember my whole leg was submerged. Then we ran out and swim. We had a nice time. I never before had such a big pool of water everywhere. But the monsoon drain were dangerous, and the river too were dangerous. They were all flowing the embankment and all this thing. But it's an experience. But we were lucky because my father's shop furniture, they were elevated, actually elevated. So we only had to move the bottom row of the medicine up. Then after that, the flood water retreated the next day. It was 1.5 day of continuous downpour. So all this you will witness. Then the 50-year cycle. In fact, this is a 100-year cycle type of flood, because within 1 day, almost 1 month of downpour concentrated on 1 day is very severe. That's why no amount of design can cater for such flash flood or 1 in 100 years flood. So it's not easy. Then because of development, the concrete drain, they bring water down faster. Then also this time, I think there's some mismanagement somewhere. They release the dam water from the dam which were all flowing. They got no choice. Then all this water, even the storm drainage that go to Tasik Desa, the capacity not enough, it overflowed. That's why Klang River was overflowing. Then some of the pump system also not working. So the tidal gate also, I think they didn't really manage it well. You're supposed to close the tidal gate when the tide is high and pump the water out. But the pump, some were not working and all those problems. So these are the things that the government of the day should look into and help elevate things. Because if they have done it, a lot of these people who suffer may not have to suffer so badly. So these are the things that my nature saw, but it also understand what is the reality. It has to be that because of the consciousness, because of the karmic thing behind. So all this is what life is all about, existence is all about. That's why you get to witness them. Then you do your part. You radiate love, metta. Then you contribute in whatever way you find it possible. So all these are very meaningful, beautiful, and it's part of cultivation, part of existence, understanding life, and all these happenings. So very good, PG. You can continue, yeah, Sadhu.
Yeah, Bertil, when you say all this is karmic and all this, human consciousness, with the way that things are going, I can see that there's going to be a lot of calamities coming, and that is why is we have to cultivate, like Bertil, like we I always use the what you call that, the Bodhisattva vows, Bertil, that this one
That one will help.
the three precepts, that one
the pure precepts.
The second one being to cultivate all virtues and leading to the perfection of them,
of them all.
Bertil, that one I think for a lot of us who have cultivated the Buddha Dhamma, I think we can put that into practice now.
Yes.
Because as we cultivate, Bertil, we can see that there is so much blessings, Bertil.
Yes.
Somehow our lives are getting easier, we would be able to avoid the worst situation.
We
feel that we are blessed.
Yes.
Yeah, Bertil. Think many of us can do that. Yes.
In fact, during this flood, if you really look at it, a lot of people who drive car to work, luckily because of the pandemic, most of them work from home. But the problem is, recently because of the opening up, the high rate of vaccination, so people dare to come out, and because of that, a lot of car actually were affected by the flood. Then they was told, if you don't buy special insurance for flood, you are not covered. And that one can lead to total loss, which is quite severe. Then the other thing is also, last time, because I used to like help my company, the consultant, to do this design for 5-star hotel. We did the Hotel Istana and Shangri-La Hotel. I was fully involved with the Hotel Istana. There were 5 basements in the design. So there were a few cases in the early year floods where the water went in. I think the architect somehow didn't see that problem. And the water went in and flooded the whole of the basement 3, 4, and 5, and were all flooded, and the car were floating and spinning. Then later on, they get us to look at it and help to prevent future. So we say the only way is because your structure redesign, we build a weir to temporarily like prevent water from going in. It was, I think, extra 3-4 feet, I think. So that 3-4 feet is good enough. We have Nagasaki there at the back. Somehow at the back there, flooding, being a low-lying area, and flash flood. The discharge not fast enough, so it will lead to that. So the water went into the basement because they put the entrance at the back, which is a low area. If they had put it in front, then they would have saved the whole thing. But it's already done because they want the frontage, the entrance to be grand and all this thing. So I was told a lot of underground car park, basement, they got flooded. So you happen to be working in this office with multiple basement car park, you will be caught. Then some, even Shah Alam area, High Com area, Taman Sri Muda especially, if you stay there, you have to park your car there. And there is no more high ground. It's everywhere submerged. So it was really dramatic. And a lot of people can get into that situation, actually. You happen to drive out there and look for a friend or visit somebody or go to blank, you may even get into trouble. Yeah. That's why a lot of things to do with karma, like you say. Then with the cultivation, you start to understand the importance of merits, parami, and all those things. Mm. So what you share is very true. You have to really cultivate so that these are the things that protect us. Like the Buddha said, nothing protects you except your virtue. So if you have the virtue, you will be protected. Otherwise, you have to go through all this. Mm. Yeah, you can continue, huh, PJ?
Mm. Seeing this, actually, I hope it prompts me to be more diligent in my cultivation too, Virtue. I have been quite lax in my cultivation recently. And coming back, I think it will make a difference, Virtue.
Yes, definitely. You have been doing fine because you have this understanding to reflect and contemplate now. And now you can understand things very fast.
Yeah, Virtue, especially the word accept what is.
That one will actually become more and more clear to you, more and more stable. It will expose you to a lot of this Bodhisattva way cultivation. That's why when you have this understanding, you will know how to contemplate, reflect, and give meaning to all this. And you will have that determination to move you, to push you, and to trigger off cultivation and understanding. So this is all part and parcel of the way. That's why when you have the Dhamma, you will understand a lot of things. And you will know how to move. And you will have faith in the Triple Gem more and more, in virtue, in cultivation, and all these things.
Yeah, virtue, especially when you say cultivation is actually in life.
Yeah.
I'm seeing very much in that virtue now.
Yes.
Every situation in life, we can still cultivate despite what a lot of us initially thought. We need free time to do this, that.
No need one.
But I can understand that cultivation in life itself is more important because that's where we have all this situation to test us, like how much we understand use what we understand to deal with life itself.
It's no longer the individual, the self. Most people are so concerned and focused on themselves and their loved one or whatever. They cannot see beyond. But as a cultivator, especially your case and for us who have the Dhamma, we actually can feel beyond. We look at the big picture very clear, and the consciousness, the movement, the activity, the cell life itself is our greatest teacher. We can see the manifestation of Dhamma, the manifestation of the nature's law that governs life and existence, and we can witness so many happenings. Then we will come to know many, many more things. This is how we learn the Bodhisattva way. That nature develops that awakening and understanding. Very beautiful. Now you are moving into all this, which is a totally new field that widens your scope of understanding and cultivation. That's why every moment is Dhamma. Every moment is the reality.
I think it's like when one's mind is more quiet, Ratio, that's when we will have the time to reflect that.
Yes, awareness.
What can we learn? What can we learn from?
Yeah, from life itself, from real happening in existence within the conditioned world. In fact, it started out with the pandemic. Like you say, it's going to be worse because the consciousness has evolved and conditioned things to be like that. And this pandemic is not going to go off so soon. It is going to continue. Then, as highlighted by some of the people who have the foresight, I think one of the MP 6 months ago highlighted in Parliament, is that with the pandemic, we already so severely affected. What happened when the monsoon come the year end? And the government was not prepared. They played a video out. So it was really beautiful because he actually warned the government, you had to plan for the worst. When the pandemic hit, it's bad enough. When the flood hit, it's even worse. And now we are witnessing all this, and a lot of them are ill prepared. Many of the states are very badly affected. They are not really prepared. So this is what nation have to witness and learn from it and must not slack. That's why at one stage the preparation was very good, especially after the 71, I remember. Then after that it was forgotten for many years. It was no longer so severe. Then later on, some of the state cannot hit that time. Then only they start to make preparation. But human being is like that. Never learn.
Yeah, true, Bertil.
Yeah,
Bertil, even like those quotes that you would like to say, I remember those days, I can't understand what you're saying. Even simple things like just be aware. Don't need to know. What do you mean by just be aware?
Yeah.
So that now I am beginning to understand
aware, the nature is aware, you sense it, you are part of the consciousness, and you know what is going on. You can relate to all this. That's why you don't go and think, you don't go and analyze, you don't go and rationalize, are you all these people? There is no such thing. Thing is just the way it is. Then to be will be. Then your love, your compassion, they will come out and you just read it and do your part. That's it. That's why we share marriage, we transfer, we invoke what they call a blessing for the nation and all this thing. Hope to have a good, responsible and righteous government. And that is what we can do on our part. And I think the Sri Lankan state government is doing quite a good job. They are actually very well equipped, and they actually get ready a lot of things. They had experience and they have the resources. And that's why they help reach them very fast. Then all these are actually involving a lot of planning at the district level in all this area that are prone to flood affected area. So all the center for the evacuation, they are actually earmarked and they know. That's why they got all the tents, everything they put up. And this time one quite nice, one family like that. Some got 8 or 9 of them inside with the children. But it's very well aligned and laid out. So these are the things we actually can have the sensitivity to understand. Then, like you say, all Malaysian coming together. That was beautiful.
Yeah, Brother Chiu.
Yeah.
On our part, I think other than helping in kind and all that, our yeah. prayers, I think, are very important at this time.
Yeah. Yes.
Because to some people that I know that are not, how to say, they are in the spiritual field
yeah.
and the healers and all this.
Mm-hmm.
There have been much talk about that because yeah. of the human consciousness, brother.
Yeah.
We mm. are going through very difficult times.
Yeah, yeah.
Very, traumatic times.
Yes.
Let us, at especially those of us who are doing the cultivation, to ground ourselves.
Yeah.
Be quiet.
Yeah.
And how to say? Spend more time in our cultivation.
Mm. And play our role. Huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. To actually improve the totality of consciousness. Yeah, we have our nature, we have our understanding, and we do our part. Mm. That's why I said the number is very small. We need to have more of this type of cultivator to do all these things. Mm. So all these are very important understanding and aspect of cultivation. That's why we are the quiet one. People thought we didn't do anything, but within the trained mind, the understanding, everything, that pure wish, that metta, that compassion, that love, that understanding has been radiated. And whatever that happened, wherever there is affinity, there is condition, that nature will arise and radiate. And share. Very
you know,
good.
Brother, last Sunday, I was at Taman Thun Park, and yeah. as usual, I will end up sitting by the riverside.
Oh,
and you know, there's little stream. I was at the upper part, and yeah. I was looking at this water flowing down and all this.
Mm.
And I use that as an analogy of, let's say, a person's life.
Oh, sadhu, yeah.
In the beginning, everything is clear,
yeah,
fresh and beautiful.
Yeah,
okay?
yeah.
So as it goes down, further down, of yeah. course, a lot of things will come in.
Yeah, contamination and all those things.
And also, a lot of water may be lost or whatever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it's very much like part of our lives, mm. where a lot of good and not so good things will happen
yeah,
now.
Yeah, yeah.
No?
The ups and down. Mm.
Yeah. And just like the river, why can't we accept things that
yeah.
comes and goes?
Accord and flow.
Yeah, but I that's why I ask myself, just like the river, just go, they go over all the rocks, they yeah. accept all the dirt and everything.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Why can't we as human beings, especially with cultivation, I yeah. think I should be like the river. I must be yeah. able to accept everything that comes into my life.
Yes, you know? Yes, yes.
And take it as the challenge and mm-hmm. to put my cultivation into practice, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Otherwise,
yeah.
then what am I here for?
Correct.
I'm sure that I'm here in this life is for a certain, I wouldn't say a mission, right? But to come here probably with progress in my understanding of life yeah. itself, and especially if I'm doing the cultivation of the Bodhisattva vows,
yeah.
It is really to test me and
yeah.
make me
to
see.
Your
yeah, Virtue. Yes, Virtue. If we keep chanting all these Bodhisattva vows and
yeah.
I don't see that, then it defeats the purpose.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Means you cannot make use of it.
Yeah.
That's why when you have the understanding, you realize the vow is so beautiful. And all this is like part of the way, part of the cultivation. Just without the vow, you cannot perform that duty. So your duty towards the living being, because you vow to take them all across. You vow to endure and severe all suffering. You vow to perfect all wisdom, to develop the perfection of wisdom. Then you vow to perfect the 10 perfection of the parameters to become Sama Sambuddha. So all these are your committed bodhisattva vows. And these are basic vows that will lead you to the cultivation, to the understanding, and to perform your perfection. That's why when we come to live life, to develop understanding of life, to fulfill our vows, to do our duty, to develop more and more understanding of cultivation and perfection. And all these are very wonderful. That's why it's called a wonderful Dhamma. So now you start to link and connect all the teaching to what you really do as a bodhisattva walking the path of Dhamma to cultivate. That's why I say it's all related to life within the conditioned world. Everything is just the way it is. Meant to be will be. Not so real, but yet it has its own reality. There is such thing as life, existence, living beings, form and mind. But on the unconditioned side, he know you, he know me, no mark, nothing. Everything is just empty, harshness. So all this understanding, you have to really develop from both sides, the conditioned and the unconditioned Dhamma, to really have the true understanding to live life, to understand life, and to do whatever you have to do in life in the name of perfection, cultivation, and living life. So all these are very beautiful. Sadhu, to you, Vijay, you are moving into all this now. Sadhu.
Yeah, but you, especially like today's sutta, I find it very beautiful too, Brother.
Yes. The six identity with the Buddha.
also the you were saying the different what identity with the Buddha.
Yes.
And all this that means are these the different stages of cultivation?
Yeah.
Wait, Brother.
Yes. Until finally you have the embodiment of the full perfection to become Sammasambuddha, then you become that pure gold. You say it's like mining for gold. So initially you discover gold. You say mind and Buddha is the same. So Buddha is my mind is Buddha. Then you identify in principle. In principle you are also the Buddha because you have the Buddha nature inside you. So in principle, not yet, that one is just like, you know there is gold inside, but you got to mine it. After you mine it, you got to purify it or smell it and slowly refine it. So all these are the cultivation processes until finally you're able to reap the pure gold and you know what gold is. So this analogy is very good. So to smith it and all things is to go through cultivation, to perfect yourself, to actually refine upon yourself and perfect yourself so that you become pure, so that you develop the understanding, the wisdom. So all this is how Mahayana actually come up with analogy to develop all this sharing. So this wonderful Dhamma Lotus Flower Sutta Miao Pa Lian Hua Jing is really wonderful. That's why it's called Wonderful Dhamma.
Brother, seriously, without your explanation, especially like some of Master Shen Hua's phrases, is actually quite difficult.
Not easy.
Especially that one that you're saying, not knowing.
That one very few people understand.
Follow
Shen Hua and you don't know what he's trying to tell you. It's not practical. You cannot do.
At the same time, when you say to cultivate, then at the same time you say not knowing, then people who are just starting their cultivation, they were saying they will be thinking,
they will be very confused.
Very confused.
Because they use the thought to cultivate. The mundane mind, because that is the only instrument they know. they doesn't know that you had to start from the self nature, like Hui Ning said, from the silent mind, the true mind, the awareness nature. From there, you cultivate and develop the awakening, the wisdom, then connected to the form and mind. Then only this form and mind will have the wisdom to understand life. Then only this form and mind become beautiful. Then life become wonderful. All these are interrelated and connected, but very few people understand. Hardly any cultivator really has the understanding. That's why over the last few years, I have been emphasizing all this understanding, repeating them many, many times, so that it can go in, so that you all can actually develop the clear understanding. You cannot find in other books and teaching. They don't explain this part, the mundane and the supramundane, the conditioned and the unconditioned. They cannot link. They cannot link. And the spiritual nature, the true nature, the self nature, people cannot understand. This to them are words.
Yeah, Bertil, I'm one of them who benefited from all your teachings. All the years of repetition and all what you say is true. We hear this and we hear again and again, but somehow it doesn't settle in, and we can't get the meaning, Bracho.
Until you are ready. It's like
yeah.
that one. That's yeah. why the Dhamma is like that. Unless the condition already there, then the understanding will arise. Then it will like open up, awaken. Then when you connect and awaken, the whole process is very beautiful. That's why you need to have the faith to drive you, like your case. Then when you connect, the strong mind that makes the aspiration arouse, they activate the nature. Then from the nature, it open up. Then you connect. That's how you can understand. After that, from the silent mind, the awareness nature, all this Dhamma starts to become clear and become meaningful, beautiful. In fact, a lot of other Kayamita also went through those phases. Yeah, let us rejoice with PG's good sharing also. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. And today's sharing, I think you must listen to it. It will benefit you. Also, I'd like to take this opportunity today to actually help Sister Pamasri and Brother Tim, that they came and see me today. They said their daughter who is doing the master degree in Shanghai. I think she got some abdominal pain and was admitted. So she asked us to, as Kanyamita, to help evoke power, merit, straight love, metta, compassion, and wish for her good health and well-being and recovery. Seems she may be having her operation this Friday. So let us now invoke our merits. So we already rejoice with all the wholesomeness, and may all this wholesomeness pave the way for causes and conditions for Sister Pamasri and Brother Tim's daughter, this is Minjun, we all know. For her to recover to good health and have a successful and very smooth recovery, and successful operation, and very skillful doctors or surgeon to help her develop the recovery. And we all would radiate metta and love on your own when you are free. So may all these merits, and wholesomeness pave the way for Sister Minjun to recover to good health, to have a successful operation this coming Friday, and to recover from whatever problem that she might have, so that she can gain back her health and become a very successful, famous doctor later, because the course that she studied is traditional Chinese medicine, TCM, And these are very good calls that can help many people. So we would like to actually on our own, after the class or whatever, you can just read it, metta, read it, wish for her well-being, and wish her well and happy. And may the blessing of the Triple Gem to be always with her, and may she develop the wholesomeness and merits to actually develop good condition for her, good karma, to help her recover to good health, and overcome whatever coming obstruction that she is facing. So all these are very useful, very helpful. So we hope all KMTAs can play their part. Maybe we will take about 2 minutes. Y'all can pay respect to Triple Gem first, then after that, we will take about 2-3 minutes to read it, love and metta to Sister Minjun, Mama Sri and Brother Tio's daughter, wish for her well-being and good health, smooth recovery. Okay, so I will ring the bell, then we can start our silent awareness-based meditation, then you can read it, your metta and whatever compassion to her. Her name is Tio Minjun, Minjun. Okay, I will ring the bell. Okay. Thank you so much for playing your part. So we rejoice with all the wholesomeness. And with this, we hope Sister Min Jun, Pamasiri, and Brother's daughter will have a good recovery. And she will be well, happy, and peaceful always. May her mind stay be strong. May her have faith in the Triple Gem, and may the blessing of the Triple Gem be always with her. May she recover to good health and have a successful surgery this coming weekend. So let us rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, so we will end the whole session because getting ready. Then I wish you all what's Tangji? Winter solstice. So those who celebrate, I wish you all a good start of the spring. It seems it marked the end of winter and the beginning of spring. So hopefully this winter solstice will bring about better condition and consciousness for the world. But the pandemic is severe, and all this happened because of the way we destroy humanity, destroy our environment, and cause all the havoc. That's why this type of disaster, nature's disaster, they all keep on coming. And together with the pandemic, it's not easy. But with the Dhamma, don't worry. When you take care of Dhamma, Dhamma take care of your life, virtue protects, nothing else. So have faith in the Dhamma. Develop more and more virtue and wholesomeness. Okay.